good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The top left square, he's back stateside, looking good. Go find him, Cobb, what's going on?
I'm glad you said that. Literally, when I jumped on, I was like, oh, I look like What's up, Ted? Glad to be back, and yeah, you're at AF 10. Let's get it.
Down there in the bottom square, looking cool as always, sleeves off, all time of year. Matt, Connor, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
115 was the temperature I saw as the high today.
115?
Yeah.
Jesus. How is it still that hot down there?
Dude, you know, honestly, at this point of the year, it doesn't even faze me. It's a dry heat. It'll be over soon enough. I'm conditioned. Yeah, it's not that bad at this point. There is a nice breeze. But... yeah, that's a good look of like, whoa, 115, and I'm not even that bad. This is great.
It is definitely fall up here in the Northwest.
I'm gonna be freezing this weekend, bro.
You're gonna be so cold.
If I'm like,
when are you coming up?
I'm coming up Friday and leaving Sunday.
All right. Friday, I hate to tell you, man, Friday already looks like maybe 65 and rain, but Saturday and Sunday look pretty dry and sunny.
Okay.
Cool. 50 degree swing. That's wild.
Yeah, because I'm watching the Hawks game with you on Sunday. I'll probably still be in shorts, maybe a jacket, definitely going to jump in the lake, and Matt's going to be like all bundled up like, I'm fucking freezing here.
I'll jump in that lake. Because being cold is like its own thing. Like, I'm okay with the extreme level of it, but it's that constant 60 degrees that's going to get me. Jumping in the 40 degree lake, that's living. But like, just the constant chill factor, I don't know how I'm going to do. It's been a while.
Dude, look, I won't lie to you. Even for me last night, right? Like, I had like my windows open and like watching the Hawks game, got my slider open, like went in my bedroom. I was like, ooh, it's cold. I got to close this window.
Damn. Also, Matt, I feel like we got to get that on your gravestone. Just, it's a dry heat. Every time we talk, you're like 109, it's a dry heat.
Well, it's funny too, is like Matt is not somebody. Like, you're not a big bitcher and complainer, right? Like, you're always super positive and stuff. I was dying when we were in Austin. You're like, it's humid, man. I'm just not used to it.
I can't do it.
And when body's I see panicking. Matt complaining, I mean, him just being like, I'm actually sweating. But
well, and when it's time to complain, I do lean into it. Like, because it's kind of fun, and I don't do it very often. So I was like, man, this humidity, and I was going off to anyone that would listen.
Cobb, what's the temperature like down in Austin?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just walked the dog and I was in shorts, but it was not too warm. And I just went and did a sprint workout. Let me look actually. Austin temp. Probably I'm gonna say 90. Yeah, 86 right now is 96 was the high today. So I'm 96 is not getting me at all. Down in Baja, it was like, you know, we were hanging around 100. And I got to be honest with you, I barely felt it. Felt good. But I was in the AC most of the day working. So it's a wet heat, you know?
It's a wet heat. No, yeah. Dude, put me in 96 right now. I'd be sweating just sitting there.
that humidity is like just chills at 50% or higher, right?
In Austin?
Yeah.
Dude, so this is something that's crazy. I weirdly have an intimate knowledge of. So Seattle, people for some reason think that it's not humid, but Seattle's humidity is usually around like 96%. I only know because we monitor it in the popcorn shop because popcorn just soaks up that moisture like crazy. So most places they can just leave it out for hours and we have to bag it like within 10 minutes of it being made. So anyway, that's just another just another little vote in our corner for the freshness. But in Austin, yeah, I would say probably hangs around 80%, but you notice it. Let me look real quick. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's omnipresent. I mean, it's a big factor.
Yeah. I don't do like
above humidity's 34%.
What?
34%.
That's pretty, yeah.
Maybe that's why it's not feeling too bad.
That's pretty good for you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only time I really noticed it in Seattle was like, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, I went to the Husky game, and it was weird because it was like overcast, and it looked like it was going to be chilly, but you could really notice the humidity that day. It's like, it's not hot. It's just stuffy.
Yeah, I feel like growing up in Seattle, the thing was like always like bring a hat and gloves, like to a game or whatever, like especially if you're going to a stadium, it's like bring a beanie and gloves. Trust me.
Yeah, those little knit ones.
Yeah, knit it just gloves. Like exactly. Like once that sun goes down, being near the coast, it drops off. But yeah, God, UW Stadium is sick. I'm jealous. I hit a UT Stadium this weekend. It was pretty raw, pretty good.
Ooh. I saw that. That was awesome. There was let's just say there was one very excited person here. I was like, yeah, Cobb's at that game.
Well, dude, so what I was trying to send you, actually, we went. So obviously there's tailgates and stuff before. But, you know, I only know one guy who has a tailgate. He's 10 years younger than me. But there's this German beer garden that's been there since like 1900. And so I got my other friend. I was like, let's hit that beer garden, man. People always talk about it. It's called Schultz Beer Garden. I was like, I want to know what it's about. We go in and, dude, so rad. We got giant beers, like giant steins of beer.
Stein of beer,
which was rad. They had what are they called, Stiegel Radlers, you know what I'm talking about, kind of like a tropical beer.
I love the Radlers, man, and they're only like 2%. I call them breakfast beers.
Yeah, oh dude, that's why you're my guy. Okay, next time you come down, we're hitting that place. It's legit, and it's basically like an old Elks lodge that's a block and a half from the stadium, and it's just packed. So they show a bunch of college games. There's people in there getting hammered on giant beers. There's of course tons of beautiful college women. Like, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, look, besides college football, if there's one thing, you know, I fit into well, it's a German beer garden.
I know. Honestly, it is your dude. It's your Super Bowl. It's your perfect environment, or it's your octagon, you know?
Yeah. Like when I was in Munich, right, I was only there for a few days, but like in that morning, you know, we wanted to learn, you know, about history. So we went to Dachau, which was one of the camps, which is super intense. And then afterwards, complete opposite emotion, we went to the Hofbräuhaus in Munich. And like, I don't know, you've never seen, I mean, like, I can't explain to you how intense and somber going to a camp is. But then, man, we got in there and like my smile was huge. Our buddy Ron from Belfast, he was in town. He's like, dude, I'm coming over. I got European candy for you. I'm like, awesome. And there's just, and we only had like 90 minutes, right? As we had other stuff we had to do. And like, I don't know, everybody I was with was having fun. But like, I was going to say, Ken and Donnie from the Advocates, Donnie just looks at me. She goes, you just want to stay here, don't you? I was like, God damn it. Can we just stay here a little bit longer? She's like, well, we got to change. We got fancy dinner reservations. I'm like, I know, but they're the Oompa Band's playing Sweet Caroline. I could easily drink another one of these steins and like the pretzel wench is coming by.
Yeah, like we... Who cares about dinner? We are at the Hofbräuhaus.
Right. I mean, yeah. Matt, I know you don't drink. Trust me. You would love to hang out in this place, dude.
Yeah.
And it's massive. And like everybody in there is just singing and cheering and just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's one of the cooler environments I've ever seen in my life.
When the servers, the Fraulines, they have like the cool outfits too. I love that.
Yeah. And like, I texted somebody last week, like a picture from Oktoberfest, and I said, I didn't know I was turned on by heroes, but watching one of those women just haul out fucking 10 liters of beer, like she, first of all, that's a hero. Second of all, I am very attracted to her.
Dude, I didn't even think about this. Like, I'm always talking about and thinking about like your American type, you know, like your South End, Bellevue, whatever, like, a Hofbräuhaus girl is your European muse. That makes a lot of sense. Most people are like, oh, I want like a French woman from the south of France, or like, oh, like a Spaniard, like Ted, the Germans.
Oh, for sure.
Wow, that hits, man. I never really thought about it, but wow. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Right. I mean, well, even, so, when I was at, yeah. even when I was at the game, BSing with that woman across the aisle from me, I was like, we got to get a picture. And she's like, yeah, you want the picture with a real German girl, huh?
Yes, like, ma'am, I do.
Yeah. And you're in a Tom Brady jersey. Like, aesthetically, I'm not attracted to you, but now I am.
Okay, dude. So what? That's what I'm saying. Schultz Garden is your octagon. You're going to be putting on a funny clinic in there. I will get you there.
I told you I started following the ATX drinker on Instagram, so I'm pretty sure I know that beer garden because I think he highlighted it like 2 weeks ago.
It's legit. He's not wrong. And that place is awesome, and he's a good follow.
Dude, also, you'll love like Thrill that I work with. His son plays like travel volleyball, right? So they have to go to Austin, I think, in January. And like, I just spin around on my desk and I'm like, what day are you going down? He's like, Friday. I go, all right, Saturday morning, Bear Cruise all natural for breakfast tacos. I said, you'll hear a lot of bullshit. Wait in the line at Black's, get barbecue there. And then I got to remember, what's the name of that bar we went to that was like three bars in one? It was like a rum bar, a whiskey bar.
Dude, I literally just said the same thing the other night. I was like, I love that taco place and that bar. I can't remember the name. I'll find it right now. But also on you got to be careful. There's Blacks and there's Terry Blacks, and they are mortal enemies. Black is the uncle of Terry, and Terry's is much better, in my opinion.
You took me to Terry Blacks, correct?
Yeah, Terry's is our hitter. Yeah. But yeah, I heard you say Blacks, and I'm like, whoa, be careful.
Right? Dude, what is that place called? It's like going to Ezel's or Heaven Sent.
Dude, exactly. Except, yeah, it honestly, the taste is way different. Can I find it in 2 seconds? Seven Grand? Might be called Seven Grand Whiskey and Cocktail Lounge.
Maybe.
I think that it is three different bars in one. Yeah, it's okay. Can't find it. Yep. Seven Grand, Cana, Rum Bar, and Las Perlas all mixed into one.
Yeah. That's the other place I recommend. I'm like, it's three bars in one. I was like, I think you guys were drinking tequila, and me and old GD were over there getting Cuba Libres.
Nice. Dude, so when I looked that bar up, it pulled up the tiniest bar in Texas, which Ted and I went to. It's pretty close to my house. And we got little tiny disco shots. And Ted, I don't know what was in there. How do you even describe that thing?
Oh, Matt, think of like the viscosity of like, it was like glittery
motor oil.
Yeah, motor oil.
Glittery,
right?
Motor
like,
oil.
Yeah, it was like thick. I mean, it looks super cool. And then like everybody at that bar was very nice. It was just a little odd.
Yeah, the vibe was off.
It's very rare that Cobb and I stick out. And I was like, I feel like we stick out as kind of somewhat normal Austin dudes in here. I don't think this is our bar.
Yeah. Yeah. The vibe was off. I don't know what was going on. Sometimes I feel like, you know, sometimes you walk into a room and something just happened right before you got there. So you're like the only one not privy to why there's tension. Like it almost,
yeah,
it just felt like we missed a message that everyone else received. Like, I don't know if it was like a meetup or what was going on, but so, you know, we were not on the same wavelength.
Is it, I feel like you run into this sometimes, Cobb, where like you're great in Austin, but then you find yourself in like Texas sometimes and you're like, oh boy.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. It, you know, Austin is about as Texas as I can go, and Austin drops off pretty quickly. So like, it's kind of like the Lion King, you know, how like there's like, you know, everywhere where the light touches is our kingdom. Like, as soon as you get outside that light, dude, it gets real. It gets so real. And it's every stereotype that people, especially from the Northwest, hate about Texas. And yeah, it punches you in the face. I'm not going to lie. Especially like if I have my wife with me, it's like, you know, it's concerning. But yeah, so typically if we're leaving, it's by plane. I'll say it. It sounds bougie, but it's the truth.
I will also say some stereotypes about Texas are good. And like, I just was shocked at how many people I talked to in bars, men, women, the lady on my flight, that just A, love football, and B, are like super knowledgeable. I mean, Matt, within like 2 minutes, like half a beer at this one bar, like this guy's breaking down schemes to me. And I was just like, holy shit. All right. Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about
it.
Yeah, we can talk about the 12 package. Okay, let's put in two tight ends.
Also, out there.
Yeah, exactly. It is religion down here. And also, I feel like for whatever reason, Ted has had like low key a lot of like Texas Ted has had a lot of low key luck with women down here. Just like the air, like they're always just chatting him up, you know.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We're like, I think you and Dan were like, should we just let him cook? Like, I don't know. We're supposed to get back to the house. It's like,
oh man.
Here's a weird one for you. You guys have moved from Seattle, right? I moved, you know, from Maryland all the way over here. Is it weird to you to think of like stuff you do now in your new areas and see it going on in like Seattle? Let me give you an example. Like now I love festivals and this and that. So like I grew up, we went to Ocean City, Maryland, like every summer, right? Just what you do.
Beach week.
Now, last weekend, they had some giant like beach festival, like on the beach. Like Dave was a headliner one night. Like there was some like, there was like some heavy hitters on the lineup. I almost want to say like STS 9 was one night. I was just like, huh. Oh. And it just struck me as weird. It's like, I never really discovered that stuff till I moved out here. It's like, oh, I guess people back home like this stuff too.
I've always said that culture in the U.S. moves from west to east, with the exception of New York.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I think that's another good question or kind of topic, though, is like, I think it depends on the culture, too.
Yeah, of course.
And totally. It depends on who you ask. Everybody on the East Coast thinks they're, you know, on the cutting edge, and out west we're like just focused on different stuff that it's not even on their radar.
Yeah, it will be in 5 years.
I got laughed at in Baltimore. I was like, where's the recycling? My radio teacher just laughed in my face.
Yeah. Dude, I remember, God, what was it, 2007, 2008? I went to a Penn State game. And same thing, I had to walk like, because we took an RV up there and spent the night, but I had to walk like a mile just to find like a person with like the recycling bags. And I was like, do you guys not drive around and hand these out? They're like, no, thank you for finding us and taking one. Nobody really uses them. I was like, well, I know me and my tailgate crew, we're going to have about at least two cases of Miller Lite cans. And my dad was still with us. I was like, and probably a case of O'Doul's cans. Like, we're going to need that recycler.
God, that is wild to not just, like, why are we not using aluminum over again? You know what I mean? It's just set it on fire. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, especially like in aggregate, you know, like 330 million people. I mean, how many cans can we go through in a weekend as a country? A lot.
Oh, dude, the wildest one was Michigan because it's 10 cents for a can. So, I mean, there is just kids, like teenagers, just walking around, like begging for your cans.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it literally got to a point where my one buddy just finished his beer and just tossed it over his shoulder. And I go, what are you doing? He's like, hang on, man. Some kid will be by to pick it up. I mean, didn't even take like a minute. So he's, can I have this can? Like, yeah, man, go ahead. So like, oh. All right, we're not going to throw them on the ground, but I get your point.
Throwing trash on the ground is such a good feeling.
Oh, right. I mean, the only thing better would be like trying to bite a bald eagle.
Oh, man. Wait, so Ted, does that happen to you? Like just seeing stuff at home now that you found out here?
Yeah, like it was super weird to, and like, I don't know, like one of my old teachers I'm still buddies with, like him and his wife went, and I'm just like, huh, I'm just like, all right, I guess we're all festival people now.
Festivals are very in vogue. I think, in my opinion, they're filling a gap, a spiritual gap for, and a community gap for connection that everyone kind of is longing for in the internet age, but hasn't really been able to find. You know, we used to have a lot more communal stuff, whether it's like church or bowling leagues or whatever. There's a good book about that called Bowling Alone. But yeah, so I think that's what people are looking for. And I kind of watched the Gorge documentary that came out recently. Okay, Doc, but it was kind of talking about, or it was speaking to that a little bit, in my opinion. What do you think about that, Ted?
I mean, honestly, I think you can make an argument that the modern DJ is almost a shaman, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, totally. Just, I mean, bands, like, you know the music of the DJs as well, but, like, just the way they control the mood and everything, it's just wild. And you're right. Everybody's there for one shared experience. And I even saw some lady, I don't know, came up on my Instagram feed. She was just like, yeah, like these festivals, like dance music festivals have ruined me. Cause it's like, you go to a regular concert and it's like, you know, lines and, you know, some people are going to be a little wilder than you are, this and that. And it's like, yeah, like most of the festivals we go to, like everybody's pretty much on the same wavelength. Everybody's super nice and cool and, you know, just out to have fun.
Oh yeah. And just being in a big crowd, moving to music with a group, to me feels so good. You know, and it's nice to feel connected to the whole, you know, because everything in our culture is so individual at this moment.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think you definitely feel that.
Maybe we'll swing back the other way in our lifetime.
I already am, dude.
You are?
Yeah, I moved down here to get away from everything. I'm just chilling. Got a lot of socialization.
Actually, yeah, I'll ask you off cast.
Make a note. Also, I don't know if you guys heard the news, but the mayor is fleeing the coup. So part of the time.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the kids are old enough. So, yeah, Matt, I think part of the time is down there and part of the time is up here, pretty close to me now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
He thinks he's just, you know, moving into this place and like, you know, so he can still go to work. He has no idea that me and Rob and Sean have decided, like, this is our new pad. I sent him an ad the other day for, like, giant bean bags. I was like, you have the room for it. Get one. We keep sending him stuff. Like, get these trippy lights on your rooftop deck, dude. And, like, we'll have parties up there. And he's like, I still live here, guys. It's like, I don't know. This is our spot now.
It's like, yeah, this is a frat house, Mayor. Right? It's like, what's that movie, Old School? You remember that?
Exactly.
Nice. I didn't even know that was happening.
That's we need rad. To have like a Mayor Palooza.
Oh my God. We're re-releasing him into the wild. Wow. That's a good idea, Ted. Maybe that's the Christmas party this year. Right. Oh my God. I love that. Wow. That's easy to have catch fire. Maybe a block party. We invite all the neighbors. Breaking in a little, huh? Meet the neighbors. Right. Love it.
Let's establish that you're here.
Just let him know, you know.
And whether he wants to or not, like, he's gonna watch a lot more sports living this close to me.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, so I had talked to him recently, but I didn't know if he got the house. It sounds like he did. That's rad. Love to hear that.
Which, I mean, you can see to my face, I'm pumped.
Oh yeah, that's huge. So cool. Huge ad. Huge.
All right. We weren't here last week, but Matt will be back in the state of Washington this weekend. I will see him on Sunday for some Seahawks. And Matt, proud to announce the official start of dip season.
It's on.
Yes. Oh, that's big.
God, a little delayed this year. Late start. I like it.
I went to a Husky game trying to think, like, we got fancy pizzas for one Seahawks game. Like, I last night was the first night I actually just like sat here and watched the game, and I was like, all right, like, Matt's gonna be up here, we're gonna have people over, like, sausage dips coming in hot.
Awesome. My dad's gonna get a full tenderloin from Costco. I'm gonna get some pagliacci. I miss that place. Like, that's just we just got to have a couple pags on deck.
I was going to say, get pags. Yeah, get it in.
And then taco time. Taco time, Ethiopian food, and pagliacci are my top three most missed foods from the Northwest, in case anyone was wondering.
Wow, Northwest classics.
You know what will shock you now? They sell the crisps tacos in a 4-pack at the grocery store. You could air fry those bitches.
For taco time?
Yes.
Or the crisp burritos. Dude, I'm smuggling some back into California.
That's huge.
Trust me, Matt, I have been pumped for weeks about this. I've been pumping other people up. And the other day, I've been like, I was like, yeah, Cobb's going to be there. I was like, wow, wait a minute. Sorry. I'm just excited. I just, for some reason, I keep just including you. And it's like, no, he's in Austin.
I threw out the invite to his way when it was coming together, just in case. But yeah.
You did. I respect it.
Yeah. You've been traveling a lot. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome. And that also, I mean, to coincide that with the official start of dip season, which, you know, late start this year. So I like it. Maybe it'll go deeper into the spring.
You know, it could. I mean, we know it's going to last through President's Day.
It's, yeah, exactly. Who doesn't love a good President's Day, man?
I mean, who doesn't?
We had a great time in Leavenworth that one President's Day.
Actually, that was a great time, dude. That was a fun weekend.
It's my favorite President's Day, I'd say.
Even just the simple of like getting out of the hot tub and laying on that snow.
Oh god.
And getting back in the hot tub.
I know.
Wait, so I know. Matt, I gotta know what prompted these like Seattle trip, throw a big get together, watch the Seahawks situation.
Everybody up there I miss to an extent, but I also don't care because you all know I'm doing exactly what I want to do here. And if you're my real friend, you're like, nice, Matt. But one of my best friends up there has Down syndrome. And so he does not kind of get it as well as everyone else. So he's just sitting there like, where the fuck you been, Matt? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to explain this. I'm going to book a flight and just come see you.
Nice.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm going to go see my buddy Colin. And then I was like, well, I can only do like a weekend, really. Otherwise, it becomes too much of a hassle. I've got a life down here. And so I was like, well, do a quick weekend. It's going to be football season. Let's see what's going on. And just kind of came together. It ultimately, Ted, like, there's a sizable headcount now, but it was literally just because I wanted to watch a game with you. And then yeah. I was like, how do I ensure that happens? It was like, get more people involved, dude. And you were on the fence. And then I hit a certain threshold with the guest list. And you're like, I'm in, Matt. Like,
a tipping point.
Yeah. Well, also, right, because I was like talking about going to the Gorge to see Luke Combs. It's like, well, I've seen Luke Combs before. Like, let's go to Matt's.
Yeah.
Also, one other thing I love about this whole situation, coming back to the Lion King, Ted, I feel like with dip season, you know, it's not a hard date. It's not a hard start. It's more something you feel. And I feel like you're like Rafiki sitting up in that tree meditating. And you're like, you feel like the cold wind of the Northwest winter. And you're like, it is time.
I mean, look, that's exactly what it is. I have not felt the urge to make any dips this year. I mean, hell, last night I had chips and like dip I bought at the store. But then I was just thinking, and I was like, all right, it's getting cooler. It's going to be a nice, beautiful 70 degrees out on the lake. Like, it's dip season.
You are the dip groundhog. Yeah.
That's what we should call this one. Ted, the dip groundhog.
I actually like that.
All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the cop topic?
Let's get
all right,
on.
Thank you as always to all our sponsors out there. And a special shout out to our old buddy Dom. Her daughter, I believe, is at Harvard now, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, she sent me an email today. She was out at Smith Family Popcorn and Smith Family Beer Garden out in Hyannis on the Cape.
Nice. Get it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Those boys know what they're doing.
That's so sick.
I know, right? It's wild, right?
On so many levels.
The only annoying thing with that beer garden is when I was there, I don't know, somewhere in the spring in May, they were still like working on it to get it open. And they had just put up like the giant projector screen or whatever. And she was like, oh, we were in there on a Sunday and like it was packed and people are watching football. I'm like, God damn, I wish I could see that in person. Like I saw the space, like I saw them, like, you know, we were trying different beers they're going to put on tap. And I'm like, I knew what it could be. I would love to see it in person.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, that thing will be cooking, man. I feel like just, you know, it'll compound until you're ready. Like, it's just going to get crazier and crazier. That's awesome.
Yeah, and like Chris and I, we gave my uncle Phil, my dad, the flag from his military service, like in the case. So it's in the beer garden. So it's like, A, that's super cool. B, it kind of gives Chris and I like, well, we got to go visit dad.
Dude, I mean, I actually really love that because your dad would love being in that beer garden.
Yeah, exactly. Like he'd be in there chatting people up.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. Wow. Dude, so that's like fitting. Honestly a pretty good like resting place for that, you know, that like memoriam or whatever you, I don't know what you'd call that flag, but yeah. And that's pretty good because it's like kind of weird. Like, does Chris take it? Do you take it? It's like, dude, put it in the beer garden. Put it in the like the family beer garden. It's like the family plot, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've talked about how like as a culture, we're pretty like weird about death. And so as a product of this society, every time someone just like nails a memorial for someone and it's something lasting like that and you hear the story, I'm just like, that's awesome. We figured out a way to honor the fallen and like do it justice. Cause usually it's this big, awkward, sad thing that other cultures don't treat it like that.
Yeah. I 1000% agree. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah. And I was like, I hope there's people just standing there and like, huh, what's that? Right? Yeah. Let it be a talking point. Right. I mean, it's Cape Cod. It's not like there's not going to be military people in there.
Oh yeah. Dude. And also like, I mean, just on a real level, like, I promise you at some point I will be in there drinking and like, I'll be damned if I don't like walk up, like touch that glass case and probably have a tear come to my eye. You know what I mean? Like it honestly is kind of a cool memorial.
Yeah. That's why, right. When I was like, you know, I was like, oh, I was like, I think it's a good idea. Then they were like, you know, my cousins, my aunt and uncle were like, oh yeah, we could totally do that. And it was like, this is actually the right call.
That's total. God, that is such the right call. Nice work.
Yeah. My only request, boys, is everybody gets a few ashes and you take it to a tailgate.
I'll get them to University of Texas. Right? Texas, Georgia coming up.
Like before you shotgun that beer or take a bite in that burger, you just sprinkle a little Ted out.
Oh, my God. That'd be wild, dude. It's like that guy who tried to get, remember when the guy tried to sprinkle his mom's ashes on the field in Philadelphia for the Philadelphia Eagles?
No.
Oh my God, dude. So they have a stadium. All right. Quick aside. And then we will get these emails. I promise. I know I'm not much of a storyteller, but this, so this guy's mom, her dying wish, she loved the Philadelphia Eagles. She's like, get my ashes on the field. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, oh, like, you know, he's huge. He's like 6'7". And he's like, dude, like, how could I do this? The field is closed all the time. And he's like, I have to do it during a game. That's the only time I can get like into the stadium and get tickets. So he buys tickets. End of the first quarter, he gets like right up to the rail, jumps it, starts sprinkling all the ashes, turns his body into like a cross and lays down on the middle of the field. And they think anthrax, terrorist attack.
Oh no.
Total lockdown, like shuts the game down. Like, dude, it's crazy. You can read about it. I'm trying to remember all the details now. This, I haven't even read about this in like 5 years, but yeah, pretty wild story. You should look it up. And so anyway, Ted, you know, I can get you on a UT field, but I might need to do like a drone or something. I'll get you to it. Actually, you'd be better in a tailgate parking lot. Let's be honest.
That's where I need to be. Yeah. Asphalt.
Exactly, dude. I'll get you in an obscure parking lot with some hot beer, you know, but damn. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there's two places where like, you know, you get some booze flowing and you're really having fun, it's tailgating and receptions, but both have a special impact. So I read this whole article that it's like people have more fun at weddings is they get a little looser, but also it's like, cause you're dressed up and like, there's something mental about it. And it's like the same thing of like, you only get six tailgates for college a year. And it's like, there's something different about like, oh, look at us. We're drinking in a, you know, we're partying in a parking lot.
It just means more.
Right.
It just means more, man. That's awesome. Well, dude, you know, for the record, actually, if you start assigning like where you want people to take your ashes, give me a hard one. I can get those things in anywhere, dude. I'm willing to devote like months of my life to making it happen. So, you know, yeah. If you're just, you know, when the time comes and you're handing out tasks, just don't feel bad giving me a tough one. All right, let's do some emails. Fusion Food. Right.
You got to get yours on the field at Arsenal.
Get them through customs.
Oh, right. Dude, customs. And then like also like British people are definitely willing to fight you. You know what I mean? Like all the the hooligans.
Asked for this, Cobb?
That is a challenge.
I got the tape less than a minute ago.
Wow, boys. On the field at Arsenal. I don't even know the culture. I feel like I'd have to go to like a few games and kind of like learn the ways. I don't hate it.
Your life. You said it.
I don't hate it.
Oh, hopefully you got about 35, 40 years to work on this.
Yeah. Now I'm like, do I tap into the grounds crew? Do I like try to get it into like a player's boot or something? Like, yeah.
I think you start now making friends with Gunnersaurus.
I don't hate it. The other thing I was thinking is drone sprinkle.
Drone sprinkle.
You know what I mean? Operation Drone Sprinkle.
Quick before we get to the emails, Matt, the reason Arsenal, the Gunners, have a dinosaur as their mascot, Gunnersaurus, is that years ago in the paper, they were like, come up with a design. And some kid was like, it should be a dinosaur. And then like they put it in the paper and people voted and the dinosaur won. So to this day, he's Gunnersaurus. And then there was a guy from the German national team that was playing for us, Metzel Ozel. And like, it's a weird story. Like he just didn't get to play enough. I think we played him out of position. And like people thought he really didn't like Arsenal. And they basically were just like, we're not going to loan you out. Just sit on the bench. And then they cost cuts. They were going to get rid of Gunnersaurus. So then this guy, who everybody thinks hates the club, he comes out of nowhere and it's like, oh, I'll pay his salary. I'll pay it for the next couple of years. Gunnersaurus lives on.
That's rad. Fusion Food. Gentlemen, Fusion Food gets no better than the In-N-Out breakfast burrito. You heard that right. My lady friend and I made them ourselves several years ago. Start with an extra large tortilla, spread a layer of guacamole on it, then add a layer of well-done fries. Next, take a protein-style burger. I prefer an animal-style double-double with loads of grilled onions, but to each their own. Then chop it up into small pieces and use that as the filling. And finally, top it with a fried egg and wrap it up tight. Pre-game with a little jazz cabbage if desired. Since you need to bring it all home to fry the eggs, I recommend popping the burger and fries in the air fryer while the eggs cook so everything is nice and hot. MCTP, we can make a batch next time you come over for a college football Saturday.
There's an In-N-Out on the way to his house. That sounds so awesome.
Matt, I think this weekend I'll see you. Then the weekend after, you should be at Carson's house pretty early on a Saturday.
Exactly what's happening these next 2 weekends, Ted.
All right, good. Maryland's playing SC.
Oh, classic Big Ten matchup.
Classic Big Ten matchup.
That feels insane.
It's ridiculous. Like, did you watch the Huskies Friday night against Rutgers?
They lost, right? Yep.
They did. It's just wild to be like, yeah, Washington's at Rutgers tonight.
That is crazy. Did you see any of that Miami game?
I did not because I was watching the Husky game.
Oh, buddy, I got to get you on. Okay, so I've been watching there's a guy who does like all the best clips of games and puts them together, but he does a really good job. Wheels on YouTube. Man, I watched that game. It only took like 21 minutes. Incredible game. Absolutely crazy. Highly recommend. Sorry, totally off topic. But
Matt, I was a week off. October 19th is SC at Maryland.
That works too. I mean, yeah.
I just was like, Carson's such a big SC guy. And I'm like, well, if you're going to watch an SC game with him, at least maybe watch the Maryland game.
There's going to be a few college football Saturdays over there this year. I mean, there already have been, and there will be more. And In-N-Out breakfast burritos just got me even more stoked.
I also like, I'm not going to tell that story, but the Husky tweets or texts are just ridiculous. All right. Well,
we got one more.
All right. Yeah, Matt, you got to make that breakfast burrito.
Done.
Subject line: Huskies cooged it. Shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
maybe an ominous sign, but the last two clutch games that UW where Ted Smith attended, they lost. Maybe a coincidence. You're listening from Lake Constance, Germany. Wow. They did. The Huskies did coug it in the Husky Coug game, the Apple Cup. That was tough to watch. I thought the Cougs were going to coug it. Classic. But yeah, that was bizarre. And honestly, Cougars quarterback is pretty damn good this year.
I think it's awesome we got somebody listening in Germany. But for the record, I did see the Huskies beat Eastern Michigan a couple weeks ago in person.
Wait, Ted, dude, it's all coming full circle. This could be your Fraulein Beer Garden Woman Connect. Mate, I'm not going to say your name because you didn't sign it. But if you meet a German beer garden goddess for Ted, you let us know. You have my email.
Also, I love saying it, and I love what whenever it comes off on the mention, Miles and Thurl just can't remember, like, what's the name? And I'm like, we were in Wolfrathausen.
Wolfrathausen. Yeah.
What is so difficult about this?
Right? It makes it sound like Game of Thrones. Like, that's your house. You're like, I am from Wolfrathausen.
And they're like, how did you learn that in a weekend? And I was like, oh man, I just was so excited. And because of the time change, I was on Twitter, like checking college football scores till like 1 or 2 in the morning. And then I just kept playing it from my phone. Like, how do I say the name of this place? I have to remember where I was. And it was kind of fun. By like Sunday at the Hawks game, I'm like talking to German people. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm down south, down in Wolfrathausen.
Yeah. I'm a Wolfrathausen guy. You know, right. You know how we are, dude. You know how we are.
Have you guys brunched there? That hotel's pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I love it.
All right. Well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening? Whoa.
Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Check out with what's maddening.
Right, we gotta do a little show and tell. I'm just gonna get people up to date on my consumer habits of the last couple weeks, if you don't mind.
All right.
So right here, we'll start with these because I got them. Show and tell. This is a box of golf balls. Retails $54.99. I got these for $25 a box on Facebook. I don't know where they came from. I'm not asking any further questions. The guy said don't mention anything about golf in the Venmo. But
wow, that's specific.
Sweet deal on some hot balls. Top of the line, so pretty excited about that. The course that I've been playing at all summer is closing for a month, and then it'll reopen members only. So I won't be able to play there anymore. So this past weekend, I took my hot balls and most likely, and went up there with my dad, which is like, it's just fun. The guy did a lot for me, and this is a really nice golf course. There's two really nice golf courses where I work on each side of the highway. And so earlier in the summer, he and I played the mountains course. And then this time we played the other side, the canyons. It was his first time out there. We had a great time. He got rocked by the heat a little bit. I was well conditioned. But we had a great time listening to Rory McIlroy and just, you know, having a fun end of season for me round up there. Then Sunday we watched a lot of football. I got my dad on Prize Picks. I don't think that's legal in Washington, but it's a little betting app where you make daily fantasy sports app, not a betting app, but it's legal in California. Are you familiar, Ted?
I am not, but I'm helping out one of my cousins with some bets. So like last night she was like, I just need one football bet like for the whole weekend. So I had her bet the over on JSN, Jackson Smith the Jigba. The over under was 49.5 yards. I said, take the over. He got 51.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
They set those lines so good. It is crazy what the house does.
It's fun when you have like, I was cheering for the Seahawks either way, but it's also fun to be like, get the ball back in JSN's hands.
Let's go.
Like, yeah. We need 8 more yards.
It's so fun. And yeah. So I got into a little bit of light sports gambling. It's nothing serious. I like ridiculous parlay. It's not a problem if anyone's concerned. I have a lot of fun with it. And then I got my dad into it this weekend. So it was just like, I got this guy. We're watching Red Zone and just trying to track all our bets. It was, it was a ton of fun.
I think, Matt, it's when you start placing like a Benji
right,
per bet right. Where it's like, all right, dude, you might want to slow it down a little bit, like $10 here.
Like, that's here, there. They give you a bunch of promos. Like, it's really nothing crazy. And it does make football a lot more fun, especially Hawks were playing Monday night. So Sunday is just a stress-free Red Zone experience. Like, I love when the Hawks aren't on Sunday and it's just all Red Zone all day. And then to have a little bit of action around the league with Pops, it was a great Sunday. So,
you know, I learned this from somebody else, because, you know, obviously we have listeners in other states. The greatest sports bet I've heard of in a long time is the Grand Salami.
What's that?
For hockey. You bet they set a total for goals that night. So you got to look at the teams who are playing and how many, like, what do you think the scores will be? So they just set an over-under for goals in the NHL that day.
Total around the league?
Total.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So you're watching every hockey game just like cheering for goals.
That is,
if you take the over.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. Be responsible for sure. And so, yeah, that made Sunday really fun. The other thing I was going to talk about, because Cobb is always curious about these things, and I sent him a picture of this new electric toothbrush I got with a bunch of these nano bristles, like 12,000 nano bristles, super soft, purportedly really good for your gums. But I got that. I was excited about it. It was drop shipped from China, which I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater on. Like, sometimes they're going to send over some tight stuff. You get some hits with that. And so I got that toothbrush. I sent Cobb, and it just didn't get the teeth good enough. I could feel some plaque. So I went back. I'm manual toothbrush. I threw that fucking thing away. I got a cocoa brush. I used the cocoa floss. They're my go-to brand for all my oral hygiene needs. And I'm really loving switching back to manual toothbrush life. You just get every tooth individually. I probably take longer than 2 minutes because I'm just getting into it and I'm high at the end of the day. Just like, nice. But if you haven't rocked a manual toothbrush in a while, I would say give it a shot again. And then, like I said, cocoa brush, COCO brush. They make this really cool one where there's a bunch of like really soft bristles, and then there's some of those nano bristles that are longer and softer to get underneath the gums a little bit better. So it's a pretty dialed manual toothbrush with the bristle technology, and I'm loving it. And that's the update, mostly for Cobb, but if anyone else is trying to take better care of their teeth, there you go.
I like that.
Any questions?
Bristle tech, nano bristles. I love nano bristles.
It's a wild world online. I think a lot of people like me have dental anxiety, and so you can make a lot of money preying on that if you're privy to.
It is a wild world, and frankly, there's a lot of different schools of thought and technologies for cleaning your teeth. I mean, even like the difference between sonic and ultrasonic waves for toothbrushes. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a wild world, and like abrasives and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still.
No, also say, going back to the golf balls, I don't know where they came from. It's not my business, but I definitely once bought a Big Bertha driver out of a trunk.
Yeah,
and used it for like a year and a half, and then resold it to somebody else.
I told one of my clients the story of how I got these, and he's like, "Those are hot for sure." Like, it's a real thing. I'm like, whoa, we can't confirm that. I don't want to feel like I'm in violation. I just, the guy was nice. He gave me a good deal. Like,
yeah, what are their serial numbers on these things?
Yeah, relax, I'm not asking Dave. Any questions, man.
Jesus.
Same thing.
Are you a cop?
I bought that Big Bertha out of the trunk of a guy I knew. Now, turns out he may or may not work at a golf course. But you know, not my problem.
Yeah.
Dude, so where does Big Bertha come from? Because at the UT game the other day, they have this giant drum and it's called Big Bertha. And I was just thinking, like, in video games, like, they always name, like, the big crazy gun, the Big Bertha.
Maybe,
like,
the remember the drill in Seattle? That was big. That was Bertha.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, where does Big Bertha come from?
Big Bertha, like, drivers were before that.
Like, what is Big Bertha?
I feel like it's
just something that feels good to say.
The original.
I feel like Bertha is a woman that has, like, 6 kids, big frame, lives in the plains.
Who do you think? Do you think there's any, like, Berthas under the age of 10 out there these days?
No.
No, but old school names are coming back. May and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll see a Bertha. I do actually have a definition if you guys are curious.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Where does the term Big Bertha come from? A German gun of large bore or of long range used in World War I, or something large or cumbersome of its kind? Big Bertha. Wait, there's also a cow named Big Bertha, known as the legendary. Okay, all right. This rabbit hole goes too deep, boys. I'm pulling out. Lots of Big Berthas out there. Good talk.
Well, in that case, it's probably about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, 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 boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
Okay, so when I was 6 years old, my family was obsessed with Disney. So we had, like, this big shelf with all the Disney VHSs in it. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And my brother pulled one off the shelf and he was like, "Hey, have you ever looked at the cover of Little Mermaid?" And I was like, "No, what's up?" And he's like, "See that tower right there? Like, there's a penis on there." And I looked, and sure enough, there is a giant golden dick as one of the towers on the Little Mermaid. And it kind of blew my mind. And maybe I was 10. I don't know. Let's not get caught up in the details. But so then, since we were talking about Disney tonight, like, I don't know. I don't have a good transition for this, but he showed me a scene where when they're getting married in Little Mermaid, the priest, a clear frame, pops a hard on through his, like, priest robes. You can clearly see it. Unmistakable. I'll just say that. Unmistakable. So as we were talking about, Ted as Rafiki or Austin as Pride Rock, what is the most disturbing Disney movie scene that you're familiar with? I don't know if you boys even have one. Maybe you have something come to mind, maybe not, but buzzer, boom, ready. So feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com with 2 E's. What is the most disturbing Disney movie scene? Matt, you hit the buzzer first. You're up.
Yeah. I blocked it out. I don't remember the scene. Like, my mom still talks about it, and I had a pretty good childhood. It's early childhood. It might be one of the top traumatic. Any story that starts with,
I had a pretty good childhood.
No, the beginning of Bambi, dude, that fucked me up for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I have no recollection of it, but my mom's like, "You were a mess for months, dude."
I mean, it's visceral. Like, yeah. That, what a way to start a movie. Just boom, gone.
Saw it one time, and yeah, that was that.
Do you know? All right. So I will say this, Cobb. I'm old enough that, like, we used to watch Song of the South. Never dawned on me how racist it was. Oh, I was like, oh, no, not the Briar Patch. But, like, I knew the Briar Rabbit was from the Briar Patch. Like, I just, yeah, it's like years later, it's like, oh, that's a bad Disney one.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. They've had some misses.
Yeah. Matt, so the reason that the parents die so often in Disney films is that Walt Disney, after he started building Disney World, brought his parents a house, I believe in Florida, and something happened. There was, like, a gas leak or something, and they died. So he blamed himself for it, and that's why there's also often the tragedy of a parent dying so quickly.
Whoa.
In Disney films.
What?
That
Ted
tracks.
With the deep take. God, dude, you are seriously like an idiot savant.
Disney, like, how do you leather, know that? Whatever you need, you call Ted.
Just, you know me, I was just like, why is that? Like, it does seem like they die all the time. So I just hopped on Google and it was like, here's why.
Oh my God, that is wild. That's a great reveal.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. That's honestly incredible.
You know me, man. I love eating up this stuff. I'm like, all right, let's figure out why, though.
Dude, that's so good. I would end it here.
Let's do it. There you go. Fun fact of the day. And Disney can be awfully racist. All right. From CTV for Com, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers. Well, in that case, it's probably about that time.
Cobb topic.
Okay. So when I was 6 years old, my family was obsessed with Disney. So we had like this big shelf with all the Disney VHSs in it. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And my brother pulled one off the shelf and he was like, "Hey, have you ever looked at the cover of Little Mermaid?" And I was like, "No, what's up?" And he's like, "See that tower right there? Like, there's a penis on there." And I looked, and sure enough, there's a giant golden dick as one of the towers on the Little Mermaid. And it kind of blew my mind. And maybe I was 10. I don't know. Let's not get caught up in the details. But so then, since we were talking about Disney tonight, like, I don't know. I don't have a good transition for this, but he showed me a scene where when they're getting married in Little Mermaid, the priest, a clear frame, pops a hard on through his like priest robes. You can clearly see it, unmistakable. I'll just say that, unmistakable. So as we were talking about Ted as Rafiki or Austin as Pride Rock, what is the most disturbing Disney movie scene that you're familiar with? I don't know if you boys even have one. Maybe you have something come to mind, maybe not, but buzzer, boom, ready. So feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com with two E's. What is the most disturbing Disney movie scene? Matt, you hit the buzzer first. You're up.
Yeah, I blocked it out. I don't remember the scene. Like, my mom still talks about it. And it, I mean, I had a pretty good childhood. It's early childhood. It might be one of the top traumatic. Any story that starts with,
I had a pretty good childhood.
No, the beginning of Bambi, dude, that fucked me up for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, I have no recollection of it, but my mom's like, "You were a mess for months, dude."
I mean, it's visceral. Like, yeah. That, what a way to start a movie. Just boom, gone.
Saw it one time, and yeah, that was that.
Do you know? All right, so I will say this, Cobb. I'm old enough that, like, we used to watch Song of the South. Never dawned on me how racist it was. Oh no, not the Briar Patch. But like, I knew the Briar Rabbit was from the Briar Patch. Like, I just, yeah, it's like years later, it's like, oh, that's a bad Disney one.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. They've had some misses.
Yeah. Matt, so the reason that the parents die so often in Disney films is that Walt Disney, after he started building Disney World, brought his parents a house, I believe in Florida, and something happened. There was like a gas leak or something, and they died. So he blamed himself for it, and that's why there's also often the tragedy of a parent dying so quickly. Whoa. In Disney films.
What?
That
Ted
tracks.
With the deep take. God, dude, you are seriously like an idiot savant.
Disney, like, how do you weather, know that? Whatever you need, you call Ted.
Just, you know me, I was just like, why is that? Like, it does seem like they die all the time. So I just hopped on Google and it like was like, here's why.
Oh my God. That is wild. That's a great reveal.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. That's honestly incredible.
You know me, man. I love eating up this stuff. I'm like, all right, let's figure out why, though.
Dude, that's so good. I would end it here.
Let's do it. There you go. Fun fact of the day. And Disney can be awfully racist. All right. From CTV for Com, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.